Good morning. I'm Kathy Kaiser, and I'm glad to see you all here today. First, I want to say that I want to disclose I have no financial relationships. And also, I want to acknowledge three of the MSN students that helped me pull this study together, Lee Anderson, Angela Elliott, and Kelly Hofek from the University of Nebraska. I reframed my research about 10 years ago around the concept, well, I and some other colleagues, around the concept of transition, because what we recognized was that many of our clients came to us either in transition, in some kind of life transition, or we were providing services to them because of some maladaptive transition that they had experienced. And so that's just a little bit of the context as to why we think transition is an important concept for public health nursing. Okay. Just a little background in terms of adolescence and transition. A lot of the transition to motherhood evidence was determined primarily with studies of Caucasian married middle-class women, the work of Mercer and Rubin. And as we know, that's not the current state of affairs in terms of what motherhood looks like in our country, necessarily. And in 2010 statistics, and this first point isn't stated very clearly, but 15 to 17-year-old pregnant teens represented about 17%. Of 15 to 17-year-olds in the United States, and 25% of the live births were to teens of this age group. The highest rate of births to 15 to 17-year-old teens is to Hispanics, a rate of 23.3 per thousand, and about 41% of all births in 2010 were to unmarried women. Having trouble here. Oops. Let me go back.
Nope, let me get the IT person. Can you keep going?
Yes. And the reason I selected 15 to 17-year-olds is because most folks consider that to be middle adolescence. And middle adolescence is characterized, one of the primary developmental characteristics is that these are the years where they're establishing romantic relationships. But there are a few empirical studies that look at that socio-developmental task in terms of the establishment of romantic relationships, which obviously can lead to pregnancy. And there's considerable instability in these relationships that cause pregnant teens or cause teens distress and vulnerability. And teen pregnancy has long been recognized for the dual developmental issues that it raises, that of becoming a mother and also the developmental tasks. So there's an increased probability with that dual developmentalism of maladaptive transition. So the purpose of this study was to add to the evidence related to transition of becoming a mother. Specific aims were to examine the transition experience of pregnant teens in the developmental stage of middle adolescence as they enter into becoming a mother, and also determine their intensity of need for public and community health nursing care. So this sample were all antepartum teens. I wish you could see my model here, but my colleagues and I have developed a conceptual research model that was published in Public Health Nursing in 2009 that we use to guide our research. And one of the major features of the model is that we think most public community health nursing interventions are directed at cognitive and behavioral aspects of our clients. And one of the outcomes, sort of the intermediate outcomes that we look at is what we call intensity of need for public community health nursing care. And that concept is measured by the Community Health Intensity Rating Scale, which is a tool that's been around a long time, since the late 80s. It was originally developed by Donna Peters, and some of the psychometrics of the tool were improved by Dr. Beverly Hayes. And that tool is designed to be used, as I said, to measure intensity of need for care. And it was originally, Dr. Peters originally developed it to try to get at the kind of resource consumption that is used when caring for different groups and populations and individuals as public health nurses do. So this study was a mixed methods approach, descriptive statistics primarily, and a directed content analysis approach. Secondary analysis data, These data were derived from an existing clinical database. At UNMC, we receive referrals. We have a program that we've had for about 20 years where we receive referrals from our primary care clinics. And so that's where these referrals came from. And then the students used the CHRS and, of course, nursing process and other things to do their assessment and put their care plans together and so on and so forth. And so we've kept these data. So these 20 antepartal 15 to 17-year-old teens are from these data, and they were collected from the years 2000 to 2011, which kind of tells you that we didn't get a lot of 15 to 17-year-old antepartal referrals typically, and I'll come back to that. I've already described the setting and the procedures, that there's two different kinds of approaches we're taking here. There we go. So just a little bit about the sample description. There, about 60% of the sample were 17 years of age, 35 were 16, and 5% were 15, so they were mostly at the older end. 60% white, 40% African American. One out of the 20 was married. About 75% were Medicaid as their health financing source. 15% private insurance and 10% self-pay. And the mean number of people living in those households was 5.2 persons, with the range of 2 to 11. Just a few little health status pieces. The weight range for these adolescents was 130 to 217 pounds, with a mean weight of 167 pounds. Blood pressure 107 over 65 as the mean, and heart rate 81 beats per minute. Okay, as I said, the CHRS, the Community Health Intensity Rating Scale, measures intensity of need for public community health nursing care. And we think about intensity of need for care as more of a comprehensive concept that takes into account the patient's perceived needs, so their perception of what's going on with them, as well as clinician-evaluated needs for multiple need dimensions. And I'll just insert here that this is differentiated from severity, from the concept of severity. So intensity is a different concept than severity. The intensity rating scale is built around the four domains of public community health nursing as conceptualized in the Omaha system, that being environmental, psychosocial, physiological, and health behaviors. The CHRS has 15 parameters that are located in these domains, And we can get both parameter scores and a total score. The total score ranges from 0 to 60. The parameter scores from 0 to 4. So in terms of findings related to intensity of need for care, overall parameter scores range from 0.30, which is very low, to 3.30, with 4 being high. So that's more on the high end. And the things that are highlighted in red here, the neuromusculoskeletal function and personal habits, which take into consideration things in the household like who does the laundry and things like that, those were the lowest parameters. And, of course, that makes sense. These should be healthy young women, and they were all living at home or with some sort of a relative, so they probably didn't have a lot of independent responsibility for some of these personal habits. And then some of the others that were low were community networking, which takes into consideration use of services like WIC and so on and so forth, and we think that that was low because their parents were helping them with that. Structural integrity, which would include pain, digestion, elimination, and then health management, which takes into account some of the preventive behaviors, the going to prenatal care, getting immunizations, etc. And again, we think that was lower because these were such young women, and they hadn't assumed responsibility for their own health management. They had a lot of parental support. The highest parameter mean scores were physical environment safety and reproductive, and those parameters, the reproductive makes sense because they're pregnant and they would have higher scores on those indicators within that parameter. And then physical environment safety, which takes into consideration their home environment, their neighborhood environment, and any kind of environmental risks. Those were some of the higher the parameter score and the higher the total score, the higher the intensity of need for care. So our total intensity scores range from 0 to 58. We actually had somebody who scored a 0. And our mean total score was 26, which is a little bit less than 30, which would be halfway between the 0 to 60 possible score. And so that indicates overall not a very high intensity of need for care, but when you think about that these are 15 to 17-year-olds, they're healthy, you wouldn't expect real high intensity of need for care scores. But since this is close to being half of what the score could be, it's enough to get our attention. We measured transition by using an item from one of the parameters, which was emotional mental response parameter, which is part of the psychosocial domain. And that indicator was the client's perception of the situation. So if they said that there was no problem in the situation, then they were not likely perceiving that they were in the middle of a life transition, and only 10% of our population, our sample, responded that way. Most responded that it was either a difficult situation or a major life change, and that they did perceive that they were in transition. Okay, so in terms of some of the qualitative findings, as I said, we used a deductive directed content analysis, which means that you use a model, and we used our model, which I can go back to if anybody wants me to. But we focused primarily on the cognitive behavioral indicators of transition, because as I said, that's what our research model demonstrates are the major areas where a public health nurse would provide intervention. And so we found some evidence for both positive and not positive items from the model. In terms of health behavior, there we did have teens that smoked. We had teens who had issues with nutrition and issues with exercise, unprotected sex, but they were taking their prenatal vitamins, which we saw as positive. In terms of health seeking, which falls under cognitive behavioral, many of them had knowledge deficits about pregnancy, labor and delivery, and infant care. Again, that would be expected. But they also had a lot of anxiety related to their pregnancy and to their living situation. And if you think back, physical environment and safety was one of the higher parameters from the intensity of need for care measure. In terms of personal efficacy, we had, from the qualitative, we determined that there was both a sense of psychosocial maturity as well as low self-esteem. So some were sort of managing this transition well and had this maturity, and others had low self-esteem and were at higher risk. And then also we conceptualized health services use under cognitive behavioral indicators for transition. And the two health services use findings that we gleaned from these data was a delayed start to prenatal care, which we would not see as positive, and the use of antidepressants. And as I said, there was a lot of anxiety. We also have a concept in the model called transition assets and risks, and we look at those around both the social environment and the physical environment. So from the social environment, living at home, having increased parental support over time, maybe they didn't have it at the beginning when it was discovered that they were pregnant. As you can imagine, that's always a family crisis, but they, you know, that grew over time. They might have support from an extended family relationship. Many of them experience a loss of support from peers, conflict within families, and certainly conflict or lack of engagement with the baby's father. In terms of the physical environment, numbers in the households, cats and insects and smoke detectors, with the smoke detectors being positive, were findings that we found. So what does this study add to becoming a mother transition? The pregnant teens confirm that the life transition experience during a developmental time of experimenting with romantic relationships was in fact considered a transition. Failed relationships with fathers bring significant conflict to the teen mother and the family. And probably many of you who work with pregnant teens, that's not a surprise. That's a huge issue for them. Living at home ultimately provides protection and support in areas such as the personal health management, which is parameter 15, where parental guidance and direction is most likely occurring. That these teens have a different transition experience than married or partnered mature expectant mothers, and that the intensity of need for care scores are moderate and are likely affected by living at home and being well during a well time of life, but they have in examining the parameter means there is an indication for a high potential for risk in many areas. So some implications for public health nursing. Thinking about what we can do antepartally as primary prevention for maladaptive transitions. Opportunities to think outside the box in terms of interventions. And one example might be, you know, adding to an antepartal protocol to do a home safety or home environment assessment. Policy implications as to why we have so few antepartal referrals from primary care. And I know that's an issue for Medicaid in a lot of places, too, where we don't get them prenatally. And transforming school-based programs to consider transition context and outreach to middle adolescents. And as far as future research, we're looking at women across all age groups and looking at not only becoming a mother, but other transitions that they might experience, as well as building our model. So I thank you very much.